This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. City officials in Boston say people who are living in tents in the so-called Mass and Cass area in the South End will be given at least 48 hours' notice when they have to leave. Then their tents will be cleared. Outreach workers are telling them where they can get beds and shelters and drug programs if they want them. It's all part of an executive order Acting Mayor Kim Janey announced last week. She declared a public health crisis in the area. WBUR's Lynn Joliker spent time at the tent encampment talking with some of the people living there and a doctor who is well-versed in the health challenges they face.
The intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, or Mass and Cass as it's come to be known in the opioid epidemic, is pretty quiet. Just the normal buzz of cars and pedestrians, some walking to services at area homeless shelters and clinics. But half a mile southeast in Newmarket Square, the picture changes dramatically. Camping tents line the sidewalks near the public homeless shelter for men on Southampton Street. One tent has the words, "Hated by many, loved by none," scrawled on it. Sidewalks are strewn with garbage, wet clothing, and discarded needles. People gather and roam. Many openly use drugs. A woman sweeps the street outside the tent where she says she's been staying with a friend. He's inside, throwing all their belongings out onto the sidewalk.
We need trash bags.
Are you packing up your tent?
Well, I thought we were supposed to, but I guess we have another, day or whatever.
Someone told you could have some more time?
Yeah, I guess they're starting in this area, certain areas.
So, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
I have no idea.
What's that?
I have no idea. I just found out I was pregnant. I went to the hospital. They turned me away to the streets.
She says her name is Crystal. She won't give her last name. She's 45 years old. Outreach workers from Pine Street Inn and Boston Police just came and talked with her. She told them because she's pregnant, she wants to go to a family shelter.
I mean, I don't need treatment program, so I don't need to go there.
You don't need treatment?
No, I'm just looking for a shelter.
You're not using right now?
No, I'm just looking. I'm on the clinic.
You're on methadone, you mean?
Yeah.
And that's working for you?
Yeah. It's a struggle to stay clean out here.
Dr. Jim O'Connell has taken care of people in Crystal's situation for 36 years. As founding physician of Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Program, he was one of the first to bring medical care to people experiencing homelessness, where they were, on the streets or in shelters. And still, after all these years, the scene at the massive tent encampment hits him.
To witness all the human misery and suffering here is kind of breathtaking and so discouraging in many ways. And, you know, having worked on the streets all these years, I can remember I learned the streets by going with the Pine Street Outreach van and getting to know people overnight. And we got to sort of know everybody on the streets over the course of years. But over the last, last 4 to 5 years, we've noticed more and more people on the streets who we don't know and haven't yet engaged. And then as this... the whole Mass Cass development happened. This is has just become a huge challenge to us. It's something I would never have imagined. I've seen it in other cities, so I know this is not unique in any way, shape, or form, but it is such a challenge to all of us working with these folks, and there are no easy solutions.
And when you say people you don't recognize, that you didn't know, that you haven't worked with, part of the reason for that is a lot of people are coming from other places into Boston, right? And part of the reason for that is the services that are offered here. What is behind that?
Right. The truth is we don't really know yet who these people are. We're slowly learning to get to know them. And I would say certainly some are from out of town, but an awful lot are from the greater Boston area. So it's a little bit of a mix, and I think it just makes it even more challenging as you try to figure out what's going on. But the explosion of tents, I would say one of the visual thing that hits me is that, you know, in Boston, it was rare to ever see a tent. And when we did see a tent, usually we would descend on it, offer the person lots of different things, and the tents would usually go away. But this sort of tent city, which has appeared here, is both surprising and striking to me. And this is something I just never would have envisioned here in town.
That's because Boston has sheltered most of its homeless population, unlike many other big cities, 97% to 98% in recent years. When the last homeless census was done early this year, in the middle of the pandemic, there were 170 people sleeping on the streets of Boston. Now, O'Connell says, there are a few hundred in the tent encampment alone. He says a series of events has led to more desperation and more people living on the streets. In 2014, the city closed the shelter and drug treatment programs on Long Island when the bridge to the island was deemed a hazard. The city then opened the men's shelter here on Southampton Street. The opioid epidemic was hitting at the same time. Then a few years later, O'Connell says, meth exploded onto the scene.
Now it's this cocktail of different medications and drugs, including methamphetamine, and it's made behavior be much more unpredictable for folks.
The coronavirus pandemic led to more housing and food instability and drug use. And more people have been drawn to this area where there is both help and harm. Shelters and drop-in centers where they can get connected with services, but also a free-flowing, open-air drug market.
Your teams are down here every day from Boston Healthcare for the Homeless. Talk about the challenges of delivering medical care and what the biggest issues are that you're confronting in what is a public health crisis, a humanitarian crisis down here.
We were down here with our staff during the wind storm and the rain, and it was just breathtakingly awful because people were miserably wet. We were all cold. But I was watching our staff who are here every day, and I, you know, I have to sort of take my hat off to them. What they are doing is they're giving medication for people that have gotten AIDS, and we're seeing all over the place this rise in AIDS just in the midst of this epidemic, and getting people on their treatment. Something they're doing, and they're giving out medication which is to prevent you from getting AIDS, called PrEP. And then there's medication for their substance use that people are giving, and it's quite extraordinary. And they know people by name. The biggest challenge we see now is how to be sure we can engage the people that are here. And there's so many new people coming and people we haven't known, that takes time. So I look back and say, this is to fix this, not to fix this, but to address this in some way, is really going to take a lot of time to engage people. As we learned years ago on the van, it takes time to learn to get people who are really scarred by the system and suffering from many, many stigmata, put it that way, of what they're going through.
A young man approaches and asks if we're doing interviews. He says he's a heroin user. He's clearly under the influence.
How are you doing, though?
I've been better.
He says he just got kicked out of a detox program, and it usually takes about 3 detoxes to get him sober. Dr. O'Connell asks him how much heroin he's using.
He had 60, huh? That takes a long time to come off. Oof, that's really painful, Lynn, coming off.
Asked if he has a tent out here, he says no. He doesn't want to get comfortable with this way of life, even though he's been out here 3 years. O'Connell says most people tell him they don't choose to be out here on the street. They're choosing to not be somewhere else. Some people struggle to be in large crowds in shelters, or they want to be able to stay with a partner, or they've experienced something bad in a shelter or other living situation.
And then others, to be very honest, we may not be able to go inside and abide by the rules. They may need to be using every 4 hours, but they can't stay in for 8 hours. So they're out here because they're trying to keep themselves from getting sick.
Again, you've been out here for more than 3.5 decades. What keeps you coming back, caring for people out on the street in shelters and people at the lowest points of their lives?
Yeah. As you start to care for these folks, you know, as you stop seeing them as a bunch of people in a tent and see them as individuals who have been through some version of their own hell, their stories become compelling, and you can't leave them. And so I watch our staff who are emotionally exhausted from COVID and everything else, but they are attached to these folks, and they're not going to go away.
We've got a tent, half the tent's been in water.
Crystal says she hopes she can get far away. She doesn't want to go to a shelter in this area of the city. She wants a fresh start.
I want to get out of here.
But for now, she says she hides in her tent when she can, so she isn't tempted by others using. About 15 feet behind her, a young woman looks dazed, disheveled, and unsteady. She bends over, studying her exposed legs, which are covered with large sores, a needle in her hand. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.